morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this October 27th, 2000. This is almost a balmy Saturday, probably reaching into the 65, 70s this morning and or this afternoon. So what a beautiful day. Hardly can believe it's the end of October. In studio, we have none other than my good friend, co-owner of Pete's Golf, Woody Lashin. Woody, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you in, and we got a great guest, a Long Island native, Bob Bunker from Sirius XM Radio. He's grew up in Sag Harbor on the East End, so he's been in the business. He's officially called the voice of golf, if you can believe. But
I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah,
looking forward to asking about Long Island golf.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, you'll have the voice of golf, Bob Bunker. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, and on the line is the voice of golf, Sirius XM's Bob Bunker. Bob, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Bob. How are you this morning?
Well, if I was any better, I'd be you.
Fantastic. Bob, I want to say thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time at the Barclays. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and give me a little bit of insight into the golf industry and the radio business and whatnot. Your professionalism will always be remembered, and I appreciate that.
Well, not a problem. I love anybody that loves golf, and I love to help anybody that's doing golf on radio, because it's a unique occupation, to say the least. I always get a big kick when somebody says to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "I do golf." They said, "Really? TV?" I say, "No, radio." And they look at me like I'm crazy, and then they just walk away.
Well, we do love golf here, but what I want to start with, and I do love this picture that I put on scorsiaonpar.com, and this picture of you in this purple jacket. Please explain, sir, this beautiful jacket you have on.
Well, it's a actually it's a purple mink coat, and I was down in where were we? Oh, Argentina. That's right, covering the World Cup. The one that was won by Tiger and David Duval, and one day my executive producer and partner Janice Self and I take a walk, and we find this shop that sells coats, and I walk in and I see this one, and I put it on, and I fall in love. So Janice takes a picture of me with that coat, but she wouldn't let me buy it. She says, "Hey, Bob, you know, we live in Houston. What are you going to do with a fur mink coat?" So I said, "A purple mink coat." So I said, "Okay." But I still have the picture, and I guarantee you, if I go back down to Argentina, I'm going to see if I can find that coat and make sure I buy it this time.
Yeah, it's a great picture, and I love the purple sunglasses to match. It was the whole setup was perfect, and you're obviously a very stylish man, so it was a great picture. I want to talk to you about growing up on Long Island. Probably everybody knows you as the voice of golf and the co-host of The Grill Room on Sirius XM, which will be broadcasting later today, this morning, I should say, at 10 o'clock. You co-host with Alex Maselli. It's a great show. I've listened to it many a times. But many people don't know that you grew up on Long Island, Sag Harbor area. Talk about your Long Island roots.
Well, I'm proud to say I did grow up in Sag Harbor. I was extremely intelligent in high school. I finished in the top 20 in my class from Pearson High School. Of course, we only had 14 20. Students in my class, so it made it a little easier. But I love the East End of Long Island. It was so funny because I, you know, played a lot of golf out at Shinnecock, you know, for a long time without ever realizing how wonderful Shinnecock was, and led to me getting into golf and radio in the early 80s. The USGA made the announcement that Shinnecock would be hosting the 1986 U.S. Open. So I called the USGA, and I wanted to get the station that I started with out on the East End, WLNG in Sag Harbor. Matter of fact, still on there after all these years. But the USGA said, Well, you'd have to get a hold of a guy by the name of Al Wester, who was absolutely legendary in radio. He was the voice of Notre Dame football for 16 years. He did Monday Night Football. He did the Kentucky Derby. He did everything on the Mutual Broadcasting System. So I contacted him, and we set up a meet actually at the Women's Open when it was at Baldersrawl. And I said, how can I get LNG to be part of the 86 U.S. Open? And, you know, we worked out a deal. And then the last thing he said to me, he says, you know, I do about 15 events on the radio coast to coast, and I'm looking for somebody to be part of the team. And so I started with him, and, you know, and one thing led to another, and I've been doing golf, professional golf, since 1981. I hate to date myself that much, but that's a true fact. And, you know, I still, and then I really found out after the U.S. Open and after covering golf, I find out that Shinnecock might be, it is, in my opinion, the best U.S. Open golf course in the country. It's just a real jewel, and of course National Golf Links right alongside of it, and Maidstone, which I played with Reese Jones when I was out there about a month ago. You know, so many fabulous golf courses on the East End. The only place on the planet, guys, that I find is probably equal to the East End of Long Island is down in Melbourne, Australia. They call it the Sand Belt. There's just so many fantastic golf courses there that I think it's nip and tuck between Long Island and Melbourne, Australia.
Hi, Bob. Woody Lashin here. I'm curious. Hey, out of all those, good talk to you. Out of all those courses, do you have a favorite? Is Shinnecock your favorite? Is National your favorite? Maidstone. I mean, do you have a favorite? I know it's hard to kind of choose that, but
You know, it's a great question, Woody. And here's the way I have handled it. For the past 20 years or more, when people find out that I'm from the East End of Long Island and they've heard about Shinnecock and they've heard about National and they want to come out and play, I simply say to them, what are you looking for? If you're looking for the ultimate golf experience, let's go to National, because National Golf Links, which is going to be hosting the Walker Cup next year, and I'm looking forward to that. I said, if you're looking for a golf experience, we're going to go to the National. But if you want the ultimate test, we're going to go to Shinnecock. And that's how I rate the two. And believe it or not, long before I started covering professional golf, Ben Crenshaw was out playing. He was going to play one hole at Shinnecock, one hole at National, something that Golf Digest was doing, the 18 best holes in the metropolitan New York area. And I gave Ben a ride in my car. We were kind of mutual. We had a mutual friend in Harvey Peenick, the legendary teacher in Austin. I had taken some lessons from him, and Ben obviously was one of his star pupils. And Ben said to me on the ride over, he said, I'm going to tell you something, Bob. He said, there are no two finer golf courses in the world that touch one another better than Shinnecock and National. I think it still holds true to this day.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you, by the way. I always say, if you want to get bloody and bruised, go play Shinnecock. If you want to go have a little more fun, you play National. And I would say to our listeners, next year, the Walker Cup, if you want to go and watch some great golf on an amazing golf course where you could actually get up close and see the players, you got to go to the Walker Cup, because that's going to be absolutely amazing.
Oh, it is, Woody. And the only thing I'm fearful of, people going out to National to watch the Walker Cup, they may never get to see one shot, because they'll be so enthusiastic about the views that are at National. And the one thing that I've said, and I firmly believe this, you take away the two-week period at Augusta National in Georgia when the azaleas are in full bloom, National Golf Links of America is far prettier than National, Augusta National.
Wow.
You know, you get that two-week period when the flowers are perfect, Then Augusta National is beautiful, but National Golf Links, an incredible golf course.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you could appreciate this. We got to take our first break, Bob. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about the growth of Long Island and hear your thoughts about that. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. All right, we're back. Thank you for joining me on Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is the co-owner of Pete's Golf, Woody Lashin. And on the phone is the voice of golf, SiriusXM's Bob Bucker, co-host of The Grill Room, that airs on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on SiriusXM with Alex Maselli. Bob, I wanted to talk to you about, we talked about your roots on Long Island, the growth on Long Island. How would you assess it, the growth of golf on Long Island, I should say, how would you assess it in your, and over the past 30 years?
You know, Anthony, Long Island golf has been historic for so many years because the golf courses are so old. I mean, the real gems like Maidstone and National and Shinnecock that we talked about. But, you know, lately there's been others. Atlantic Golf Course is a wonderful place to play if you can. There's another one out there called The Bridge. Noyak is a hidden gem on the East End. So I don't know if golf has really exploded on Long Island. I'm not even positive more people play it now than they did a few years ago due to the economy and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do know, it is an absolute tremendous place to play golf and to really enjoy the sport for what it's worth. I think the people of Long Island are very, very lucky to have so many great golf courses, you know, relatively close nearby, depending on where you live.
Yeah, you know, Bob, you missed my two favorite new golf courses, Sabonic and Friar's Head. I don't know if you've gotten the chance to play either one of those, but I mean, Sabonic is you when you have a lunch at Sabonic, you look over and you see the National Clubhouse,
right?
It's pretty neat. And then you go play Friar's Head, and I just got a chance to play Pine Valley, and there's a lot of Pine Valley in Friar's Head.
Oh, there really is.
Yeah.
Ben Crenshaw and Bill Coore, they're very proud of Friar's Head, and as well they should be. Ken Bask, who won the mid-amateur, a friend of mine, he was a former member at Atlantic. But there's another golf course, and I'm curious as to whether you've actually heard of it or not. It's called Three Ponds.
Three Ponds. Where is it? Where is it located?
Well, actually, it's right across the street from Atlantic. And what happened
was a private golf course. Guy owned it himself, right?
Yeah, Ted Gordon went to play at Atlantic. He was a member there, and he was told that it was a Saturday morning, and Ted was told, "Well, there'll be two groups, and we can get you right out, Mr. Gordon." And he became annoyed, so he went across the street. He spent $10 million to buy a piece of property. He called Reese Jones up and said, "Reese," because Reese had designed Atlantic, but he said, "Reese, I need a golf course, but it's something that you're really going to have to become very creative. I only have 55 acres." So Reese built an 18-hole golf course called Three Ponds, but they only use four greens. They use them over and over, but you come at them from different angles, and it's just an incredible golf course. I played it the second year it was open. I was the 59th player to play Three Ponds.
Wow.
Extremely private, no membership, and unfortunately, a few years after building this with a 25,000-square-foot home on the property, Olympic-sized pool, full tennis court, Ted Gordon passed away, and it went up for sale a few years ago for $75 million. So, Anthony, if you want a nice house and a nice golf course to play on, if I had your money, I'd go out and buy Three Ponds.
It would be me, you, and Woody would be the only players there, I think.
I'll be happy to be your guest, Anthony.
And I tell Reese Jones that it's probably the most creative piece of work that he's ever done. I mean, people that know golf courses, I mean, generally you need 110, 115, 120 acres minimum to build an 18-hole golf course. he did this on just 55 acres. Sheer genius. And he's really very proud of it. And to this day, it's in pristine condition. If maybe 10 people in a given week in the summertime play Three Ponds, that's probably a lot. So
wow.
It's a very unusual situation, to say the least.
Well, as you know, Bob, I'm in radio just like you, so there'll be no chance of me purchasing that that piece of property.
But anybody that goes into radio to make money is a fool.
Exactly.
But anybody that goes into radio, you know, the people that are in radio love radio, and I truly love it. It's been a blessing for me in my life. It's just kind of ironic that. You know, I loved golf and I loved radio, and never did I ever dream that I would be able to combine the two and have the, you know, experiences that I've been able to enjoy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Radio has given me a lot. I would not have the relationship that I have with Woody Lashin, who's just one of the top people in the business, and I wouldn't be able to talk to people like you who are also one of the top in the business. It's just, for me, it's a blessing, and I don't take it for granted one bit. We do have to take one more break, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the belly putter and the USGA. We're all fired up over here about this, what the USGA is doing. Not really happy with it, but I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is the co-owner of Pete's Golf, Woody Lashin, and on the phone is the voice of golf, SiriusXM's Bob Bucca. Bob, I know Woody wants to talk to you a little bit about the belly putter. It's made some noise, and we've been talking about it quite a bit previous to the show, and just want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, Bob, I actually spoke to a friend of mine at the USGA this week, and you know, they obviously give you the USGA speak of, oh, we were considering it, but they're gonna do this. They're gonna ban anchoring of the putter, whatever that means. I'm in strong disagreement with it. I don't play a long putter, but I don't see any reason to change it. I don't think it's a miracle. I don't think you're gonna start putting. And what I do think is that we have a lot of golfers today who've gotten older, who are good players, and as they get older, the one thing they can't do anymore is putt. And the long putter, the belly putter, has allowed a lot of these golfers to stay in the game and enjoy the game because they can remain competitive. Golf is no fun when you hit it really good and you can't make it from 2 feet. And the long putter has really changed that part of the game. So I'm curious to get your take, what you think, and what you've been hearing.
Well, you're not going to like what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because I'm a firm believer in it. I don't think being able to anchor the putter to any part of your body was the original intent of the game. I've been asked many times, you know, what would I do if I could, you know, do something and had the authority to accomplish something in the world of golf to make it more fun, to make play faster, and that would simply just be to make the hole bigger, whether you doubled it in size, and you know, it's not expensive because, you know, what does it cost to cut a hole in a green? And if you ever wanted to hold a major event or a big tournament at your place and wanted to play the other way, you simply cut holes the regulation size. So that's been my cry for a long time, and I don't know. There's just something about anchoring the putter that is not part of the game. I mean, I go back to when Sam Snead, so desperate to putt better, went to the croquet style, mm-hmm. and they banned that, saying it wasn't part of the game. And I'm good friends with Mike Davis, the executive director of the USGA, and also with Peter Dawson, who heads up the RNA. And you're right, Woody. They are definitely going to do something. I know there's some cries coming from the PGA Tour. Tim Clark specifically said that he will,
take legal action, right?
Yeah, take some legal action. Webb Simpson, who is our reigning U.S. Open champion, uses one of those. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, maybe the RNA and the USDA is going to back down, and maybe they're not. Quite frankly, you know, even if they ban it and you still want to use it, you know, most guys going out and playing their $2 or $5 Nassau, they don't have to abide by those rules. I think this is just going to be at the professional level mainly, where you're not going to be able to see it being utilized.
So do you think that this is then going to cross the line to bifurcation then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I really do. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, everybody has such strong arguments on both sides. Matter of fact, my co-host on the Grill Room show on XM, Alex, he's a staunch believer that we should allow people to use the long putter, which doesn't make it unusual because we never agree on anything. So it was quite natural for me to disagree with him on that topic. But you know what? If anything, I love it because it has people talking about golf. And you know, you talk, there's one thing that you have to worry about. And all of your good listeners, if they talk about golf long enough, pretty soon they're going to want to go out and play. You know, players that haven't played in years, they suddenly start thinking about, wow, I really miss what happens. You know, because playing golf is not just playing golf. It's having lunch with your buddies. It's the, you know, the trash talking on the first tee, the enjoyment of the game. The only thing that mystifies me, and you two guys are certainly qualified to maybe help me understand this a little bit better, you know, there's nothing better in golf than hitting that pure shot. Everybody gets so much enjoyment out of hitting that pure shot. But at the end of the day, the guy that's hit less pure shots is the winner. So I don't, you know, I can't figure out how it works that way.
Bob, we only have one last minute, but you know, to me, what do you, besides that, you had the whole idea to grow the game. You have any ideas to other ideas that we could use to grow the game of golf? Because you know, that's my concern with the long putter is, you know, I don't want to hurt the game of golf, and I feel like they're going to take people out. I do think people want to play the same rules as the PGA Tour. You know, I think that, you know, that's one of the beauties of Anthony. I can go play the black today, and, you know, I could beat Tiger on one hole, and I you know, feel amazing about it. I played the same rules and the same golf course he played. Obviously, all things aren't the same, the green speeds and all, but you got any ideas for us?
Well, you bring up a good point, and, you know, there's been an initiative lately for players to play the proper tees. I mean, you don't have to play the tips to enjoy this game, and you play it forward a little bit. It's faster. You have more fun. You know, the game is taking way too long. I think people, when they watch the professionals, they try and imitate them when they get on the green, looking at a putt from six different directions and all that stuff. So there's a lot that can be done to make this game better, and anything that brings more enjoyment to people playing golf, I'm a staunch supporter of that.
Well, Bob, we're staunch supporters of you and your work. We appreciate everything that you do for the game of golf, and we appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Hey, anytime. It's a pleasure. You guys do a great job out there. I was very impressed with Anthony when I met him at the Barclays, and when I have to get interrupted from my BSing to have commercials on a golf radio show, I know you're doing a good job.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for the kind words. And please let us know next time that you're on Long Island, because Woody and I would love to go out and play with you.
Hey, that'd be a lot of fun. I would enjoy that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Take care. All right. I mean, they don't get much better than Bob.
He is really great.
And he's a Long Island native, which makes it all the best. And I couldn't think of a better guest and a better co-host to walk up the 18th green with for the 2012 season for the On Par Radio Show. Woody, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, Anthony, thanks for having me. I tell you, this is a great show, and I love being here. It's great to be around the passion for the game that you have. That's why I enjoy talking to Bob so much.
Yeah.
It just comes out of the radio, the passion.
thank you, and thank you for being a part of it. I want to just take a quick minute to thank my sponsors for making the 2012 season possible: A1 Action Auto in West Islip, the Long Island Golf Association, Terry Landscaping Associates, the Long Island Golf Academy, South Shore Golf, and, of course, the continued support and participation of Pete's Golf Shop. Can't thank them enough for being part of the show and for helping me get this thing going and just having a tremendous lot of fun with it. And like what he said, we just have a passion for the game of golf, and I think it's time that we give the people of Long Island a voice to celebrate the great game of golf that it is on Long Island.
Absolutely, and we'll be thinking up all good stuff for our come springtime, and we'll be back at you hopefully with the even better stuff,
bigger and better. Yeah, as always. Right. All right, that's it for this week, and I want to thank you again for your continued support through the 2012 season. We look forward to catching up with you again in April, come Masters time. Until then, enjoy your winter, and hopefully you'll get to play a little golf. Fly south if you have to. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia on WGBB.
Teardrops on the city, baby.